You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 57. It's a beautiful September day in all of our respective areas. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Is that a family of ducks behind you in the shop?
It is. I have a family of ducks, and then I also have, there's a huge sea bass population that's
They're stocking it with fish.
I have, you know, you ever seen those videos where they have the tube? They put the salmon in the tube and they shoot them. That's what's been happening. They've been shooting salmon into my shop.
So they rezoned the property as wetlands.
So I can come down to the kids and we can go fishing.
That's right.
That's great.
So we're gonna do MIG welding and also fishing classes coming in 2022.
That's so unique. I think you got like a little niche market there, dude.
I think so. Yeah, we're really hoping to capitalize on this new waterfront property that I've got here.
Just take the life vest off and let's get going. Right. With your flood. So how'd you make out?
Honestly, I did great. You know,
as good as you could have done.
You got your money's worth out of the pump.
Listen, I saw what happened to other people. I was upset. Listen, that night, there's no question. I have a video that I'm going to post on my Instagram with like a little story of like my just like sheer desperation. I'm standing outside in knee deep water and I'm by myself and I literally just like scream as loud as I could. Holding my generator from falling over into the water because I can't put it on anything. It was like, you ever been moving something heavy and you get in a position where you can't hold it, but you don't want to drop it and you don't know what to do. And you have that moment of like, holy fuck, like I don't have the strength to like lean it back over, you know, like I feel like it's happened before to me. So, but I had that moment and I was so like just mentally fucking shot. And I called Macklin. Macklin had to go deal with something else, so he couldn't help me. He normally would be here with me. So like
he was at home watching Instagram having a good laugh for himself. Right?
Like I didn't know who to call, and I wasn't thinking clearly. Like there was four other people that I could have called in that moment, and I couldn't even collect my thoughts as to like who to help me with this. Plus, anybody that came to help me had to walk through 2 feet of water to get to me. You know, like I was asking somebody a lot for them to come out and do anything. So
how stupid do you sound now looking back when you bought that pump saying like, it's not going to rain now that I own this pump. Remember when we were talking, you're like, this is a waste of money. I'm never going to use this thing.
I bought another pump. I pre-ordered another pump because you can't get anything here. You can't get anything for water removal here. And I feel terrible, dude. So many people I know lost their houses. Yeah. One of Angela's friends, they have a one-year-old baby. They had a basement apartment. They lost the whole apartment, everything. Yeah. They lost the baby's clothes, the crib, everything. And, you know, other makers that we know lost everything.
It's no joke. I tell you, that video that we had shared with that kid in the
basement.
Apartment, he ended up living. The family lived. Yeah. It was on the news the other night. And, if anybody had seen it, there was a kid kind of tiptoeing through the water in his basement. And the basement wall gave out and the basement filled up with water instantly. And the kid screaming. It was just horrific hearing him scream. It was like somebody's last breaths before they died. But, yeah, he ended up living. His family was there, too. I don't know if it was his family or a couple other people, but they all lived and everything. It was just, because you sit back and you look at hear this stuff, and you're like, how does somebody drown in their apartment? Yep. And then you see that, and you're like,
that's exactly how.
My God. But back down to your horrific scream with when you can't go any further. When I was building a house, I was about 18. And a couple of us, bunch of hottos, we were roofing the house. So we bring up like a bundle of shingles at the time. So then somebody had the bright idea to bring up two. So, of course, I had to try to bring up three bundles of shingles. And I got halfway up that ladder.
You're 3 inches shorter now?
Oh, my God. I couldn't go up, and I couldn't go down. And the guy that were building the house is standing right there. He goes, what are you going to do? And I dumped him.
Yeah.
First, I almost knocked over the ladder because they all hit the ladder. But about 75% of them got destroyed, you know, because they hit the ladder. They got torn. They got folded over. And it was like a lesson not to... Well, it took me a couple more years to learn that lesson, not to be a hard-on, but it just was like, oh, my God. But I thought I was going to die. I was just, like, halfway up that ladder. I just couldn't push forward anymore, you know?
Yeah, you ever do that with bags of cement?
Yeah.
I've done it with bags of cement where you've got, like, 80-pound bags, and you're like, oh, I could put one on each shoulder, and then you drop one, and when you drop a bag of cement, that's it. It's fucking...
Yeah.
Well, it just goes, like, you know, it just explodes, and then you've got cement dust everywhere, and you look like an asshole.
I tried to pop a manhole cover one time without a hook, just my hands.
Oh,
I tore
go.
A ligament, great. Like,
oh,
in my forearm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, another brilliant idea I had. But those floods, it was just crazy to see, you know. And the sad part is, like they were saying in the news, you know, the biggest hit was down in New Orleans, and now there was, like, more death and destruction up in New York and Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Because no one was ready
for it. I think there was a huge... So I was talking to my friend Eric, the one who has that shop in Queens, and I sent you guys a video of their shop.
Yeah.
Derek's been there.
Yeah.
You know, they got a foot of water there.
Wow.
And
yeah.
the day before that... And he almost lost his Avid CNC because there was enough water where his control boxes were, like, close enough to the ground that he was desperately unplugging stuff because he was worried he was going to lose the controllers. Like, had he gotten another 2 inches of water, he would have lost that CNC.
Yeah.
So... The day before the flood, we were talking because he actually came out to my shop. I had to do some welding for him, and he was, you know, it's always like a big joke with everyone and me, right? Like, oh, well, like, are you getting ready for the flood? So he goes, Chris, we don't own a single sandbag, like, kind of laughing at me. Then his shop flooded, and he is totally humbled by it. He's like, I had. First of all, no idea that it could happen and no idea what to do when it did happen. He goes, I was walking through our wood shop with 220-volt extension cords on the floor, fully submerged in the water. He goes, I didn't lift anything up off the ground. I didn't do anything. Nothing.
Yeah.
And he's like, the only person that he knew that had any concerns about this storm was me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
how does an entire region... Hundreds of millions of people have no idea that this is coming. Like, I think there was a failure on the emergency officials to warn people that this could happen. Because, like, I was ready, but nobody else was ready. We got 9.5 inches of rain in my town.
I mean, the most
rain in Nassau County.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, well, one thing they're saying, like, the storm drains, like what do they call that when they over-engineer something? Is that what they even call it? But
I guess that would be the word.
But like a lot of the stuff is for like 2 inches an hour, and like some places we're getting 3 inches an hour, you know, and more. And
dude,
I think
nine inches an hour.
and I think another part of it is everything is a storm nowadays. Like when I was a kid, you would never put on the news and there'd be like a snowstorm when you got 6 inches of snow. It was snowing, and you got 6 inches, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I think now just the news is so desperate for people to watch it. Everything's a storm, so when they hear about it, they just tune it out, you know? And they
cover it like they did the one a week prior where they were like, guys, this is going to be real bad. You guys got to get ready. And then it drizzled. And this one...
Yeah, because I think it was just a lot... Like, I don't know. I think when you hear a lot of rain, you just think, like honestly,
but like
I didn't prep my shop. We didn't get rain like that, thank God, because I probably would have gotten water down here just coming up from groundwater, because I'm in an old basement with cracks in the floor and stuff like that. And that's how my other house was. It was like, and I can't imagine getting feet of water in your house. I mean, my other house, I would get, it would mist out and I'd get 3 inches of water, and it was like the water table was so high. And I had everything off the floor, everything ready for it, and nothing ever got ruined. But just to see water physically in your basement just kills you, you know? So I can't imagine seeing, like, your saw floating and stuff like that. But I just think when you hear, okay, we're going to get record rain, like, unless you get flooded, like you, Chris, I don't think people think about it. Like,
yeah.
I didn't take any precautions. I had shit, you know, on the floor. Well, not really on the floor, but still, I didn't pick up stuff off the floor, you know? You realize how dirty your floor is when your basement floods like that. Just,
dude,
it's oatmeal.
It's just so crazy, and like watching like that guy. I don't know him personally, but I've been following him a long time on Instagram. That guy, Tough Knives, who lives in Pennsylvania. Who, and I'll put the post in the thing because there's a GoFundMe for him. He lives next to like a creek, and his garage, literally to the top of his garage door, flooded. And what's worse is his house is right next to it. So like. Yeah. I think that losing your shop is bad, but when you lose your house and your family doesn't have a place to live, I mean, tools are tools and they're valuable, yes, but to not have a place to sleep.
Yeah, and the problem is it just destroys everything. It's not like the water recedes and it's okay. Like, everything is just ruined.
It's
and
not
then
clean
it's like,
water.
Yeah, no. And then it's the aftermath of it. Everything gets moldy.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? It's not like it dries out. And everything's fine. The sad part, like, you look back, I was watching, you know, following along with that kid, and, you know, he's all bummed out when he had, like, a foot of water in the shop or 2 feet. It's like, dude, that dude had no fucking idea what he was going to, how his night was going to end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, he has that other photo with 2 feet of water, and he's like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah.
2 feet? He had 6.5 feet of water.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even conceivable.
It's amazing when you see that. Like, it just, like, you look at these creeks and stuff. When we were filming the show where we were up in Windham, there was every backyard had a creek going through it. And you look at it and you're like, wow, that, you know, that could, like, probably flood and take over that house. But you look at it and you don't realize how big they get. You know, you're like, oh, that really couldn't reach the house. But then you see it happen, and it's like, holy shit, man. It's like, it's just crazy what happens, you know?
Unbelievable, the power of water. That video, the video that we talked about just in the beginning of the guy in his basement is probably, like the scariest video I saw from all the
floors.
And the screaming is... made me like feel sick the first time I watched it, because I thought I was listening to someone like drown, and I couldn't help but think about, like, what, you know, like how many other people could put themselves in that position. Because I'm gonna put a link to it, because I just did find it on YouTube, and it makes me feel better to know that he didn't drown, because then that would be like really horrific. But it puts some perspective into, like, what, you know, what happened to some of these people during that. But anyway, I did great in it, honestly. I had 25 inches of water outside and less than 2 inches inside.
Those sandbags
The sandbags and the tarps. The tarps, honestly, I think are what saved me. And that was a last-minute thing that I did. And, you know, like, Thomas came to help me, and I know, Paul, you met him at the open house. So when I called Macklin, and Macklin was like, dude, I can't get up there, I didn't think to call anyone else. He called Thomas and said, dude, could you go and help Chris? So I appreciate both of them from coming out. I know neither of them listen to this, but I really do appreciate both of their help. And Thomas came and was like, dude, what do we do? And at that point, there was nothing to do except wait for the rain to slow down and then just pump out the water. So at the end of the day, I was here from about 10 p.m. until 3 a.m., and by the time I left, my shop was water-free, you know?
Oh, wow.
Which,
okay,
considering what everybody else had to deal with, you know, like, I was fine. So, you know,
correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're almost starting to enjoy these floods.
Dude,
I think my Instagram followers, like I said, this is the kind of flood content that people have come to expect.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, my friend texted me. He goes, name a more iconic duo, Chris Zepp and Rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I actually did. So I had been making a YouTube video about preparing my shop for the hurricane that we didn't really get, the one that was a week prior. So I made a YouTube video, because not my YouTube audience doesn't really know about the floods, because I only talk about it on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So I had made a YouTube video just like sharing kind of what could happen. I talked about the new pump that I bought, and then I made a video showing the sandbags. And then during the flood, so there's all this footage that no one's seen yet, because I filmed it with my DJI, like firsthand me running down the driveway and seeing like almost 3 feet of water down here.
There's
so many, dude, the footage is unbelievable. If you've ever been in my driveway and seen it on a dry day, to see it with that much water, it doesn't even seem real, dude. It looks like a movie set. So I'm going to edit that video.
Your landlord must watch this and say, what a fucking asshole this kid is.
What'd you say?
Your landlord must just watch it and just be like, what a fucking asshole this kid is, pumping my building out like this all the time.
Right?
He should be paying you.
Dude, well, honestly, this guy's kind of stance on, and I did talk to like the building manager about it, because he came down and was like, oh, so did you take on water? And I showed him videos, and he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, let me send it to the landlord. Because my whole thing is I don't like to make waves with the landlord. You know, like.
Pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like to make waves with the landlord. So I'd rather not say anything and just deal with it on my own. Because mm-hmm. he could do, let's say he does $20,000 or $10,000 worth of repair down here.
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for that, really? He's just going to raise my rent. So it's
yeah,
like,
but at some point, it's like it. It
yeah,
just, you know,
I got something. I got
there.
Something
we'll,
cooking
we'll
up. I got
a time, but,
I got yeah. a new. I got a prospect. I have a prospect, yeah. a new building prospect.
I thought you were gonna say you adopted Macklin or something.
No, I would adopt Macklin. I would adopt Macklin. Angela and I, when we move, I think Macklin's gonna come with us wherever we go.
He'll be your
like
daddy.
If we move upstate,
he's gonna be like Willie.
That's yeah, that's it. He's gonna be like Willie. He's gonna take care of Stewie and our kids, and he'll just live like on the property, and you know
he'll like just fix your fence and stuff like that, just yeah. like repair it.
Exactly.
Nice.
So
that's a good deal.
Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. What have you guys been up to?
I have been up to pretty much nothing. I mean, I've been, yeah, no, I just.
All right, guys, so that about does it for this week's episode. And
no, I've been, I don't know what the hell I've been up to. I've been just up to, like, a little bit of cleaning up around here. I tell you, I finally came to the realization I'm never going to leave my shop anytime soon. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a serious game plan to rent the storage unit and get everything out of here that I don't touch for my shop. And if I do that, I'll have tons of room down here. I really will. There's another whole part of this basement that people don't see, the hidden part. That, you know, there is a lot of room over there. I could put the laser over there and, you know, stuff like that. And it would be kind of a pain in the ass to have, you know, some stuff off-site. You know, it would be all, like, house stuff. I still do have some things down here. But, like, a lot of it's just tools I used to use when I did, you know, construction-type work, like portable table saws, you know, piles of, you know, wire and, you know, electrical tools, tile tools, you know, shit like that I don't use. So I've been trying to just mentally wrap my head around that. I've been working on a couple signs. I actually was going to reach out to Luke Smith because I need to carve a big 3D sign. I'm doing a sign for a guy for a gaming place, and it's for Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm just having such a hard time with it because he wants it one way, and like it's got to be kind of like themed for it, and I don't do Dungeons and Dragons, so I'm just having a hard time like thinking like what it's supposed to look like and stuff like that. But I think we kind of figured something out last night that's going to work, but I'm going to need some help with a really big 3D carve I'm going to do, you know, probably something like 3 foot by 3 foot, something like that big. And you know, it's going to be something that stands up, so that I'm going to be, you know, working on that and stuff. But I got to go to the doctor this week and get my back checked, so I'll find out if I'm going back to work this week, which, you know, I'm kind of torn on that. You know, one part of me wants to go back, one part could care less if I ever went back, but, you know, but, yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing. And I ripped the hole in my arm, so.
You've been smoking some meats.
Oh, yeah, I did a little meat smoking. You know, a lot of people were interested in that. And it came out good. It came out real good. It was funny. It was like half a brisket when I went to the butcher. They had it sitting there. And my kids were coming home because it was my youngest daughter's birthday. So I said, you know what, I'll smoke a brisket. We'll have nice dinner and everything. not thinking that my kids were going to come home and the last thing in the world was going to be they were going to hang out with us. We never saw them all weekend. They're leaving today. But, you know, they came home and just, you know, hung out with their boyfriends or girlfriends and did whatever it was they do. But, you know, I smoked the brisket. Me and Christina ate it. And it was good. But it was tough. It was just like a half a brisket, so it wasn't as juicy as it could have been. But it was good. It was good. And somebody had reached out, a fellow maker that's back out in Chicago that was out in California. We'll put a link to him. He's back making things, buddy Tim Moore. But he had sent me, I don't know what you call it, like a temperature control thing that goes on my smoker. So I'm going to try it out today. I can't wait to try it because, like, it's just such a pain in the ass to try to keep something the same temperature. So
how does it control the temperature? Or does it just tell you what it is?
So I have one that tells you what it is, but then you have to run up and down the stairs dealing with it. This thing is a physical fan that will hook up into the intake. And it will blow air in there to keep it, make it hotter, or it will choke all the air off to cool it down. So it's, you know, it has amazing reviews online. And, you know, everybody that has one just loves the thing. So, you know, it'll be fun. You know, it's funny. You know, when you make stuff, it's like, you know, you think the stuff you make is like the coolest thing. And there's like all these like subcultures of making things. Like you have people that make stuff with metal, people that make stuff with wood. It's like, you start looking up barbecue, oh my God, mm-hmm. You got people, like, talk about people that are into making stuff. Like, these people, like, their whole lives are just, like, cooking barbecue or, like, making, like, the kettle grills and stuff. And it's just funny, like, just the sickness, like, how it obsesses people. You know, like, people are up 3:30 in the morning starting, like, these whole, like, all-day smokes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy, but it's just funny how, you know, you think, like, your sickness is, like, you know, you're the only one that's sick like that. And then, like, no matter what it is, there's people out there. You know, like, one of my buddies, he's into target shooting. Mm-hmm. And he travels the country, like target shooting. And it's like, you know, they use, like, these little, like, they're not BB guns. I think they're, like, 22s or whatever, you know.
Stuff you do in the Olympics.
Barrel. Yeah, kind of like that. And it's just crazy. But, like, there's so many people that into so
Dude,
much
there's,
weird
there's
shit.
So many little, like, niche hobbies. It's funny. That's why, like, I think I've talked to people, like, more, like, people far out of my generation about how great of a thing Instagram is.
Uh-huh.
Not for, like, there's things that are bad about it, but I think that if you have a weird hobby, like, anything, what it is, you could be an antique key collector.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on Instagram and you type in the hashtag antique key,
there's somebody.
You could probably find 20,000 other people that care about it versus back when you used to have to go on like a forum and try to find like a group. You know, like I feel like Instagram can connect people with so many weirdos.
Well, that's like Chris Burton, A Glimpse Inside, who's mm-hmm. been doing phenomenal, by the way. And if you have nobody follows him, you should check him out. But he got into it. I think his wife was into making before he was, and I was like, oh, what'd she make? He's like, oh, she collects antique paper. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah. What are you even talking about? But like old documents and stuff like
yeah.
that. And you know, she hers is I can't remember the name. It's like some I have it. It's like Fox or something. I can't think of it. I'll find it on my thing. But I sent her like some old documents in one of the basements in one of our buildings. We had stock certificates, like old cancel ones from like the 1800s and like 1901 and stuff like that in pristine condition. And it was like, and you know, she had as a pretty good side business, I believe, just like selling that type stuff, you know. And it's unbelievable the stuff that the people do, you know. And it's funny, like you said, you go on Instagram and there's like so many different things people are up to, you know. It's just it's just crazy, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something for everybody. That's for sure. And I feel like there's never been a better time for all the everybody's to get together, you know. Like you had a hat, you have to, I mean, I have to imagine, you know, obviously years ago, right? Like that was it. You had like a forum or a chat room, and even before that it was like, you know, advertising at like the gas station, the newsletter. I mean, like, I imagine, like, I think about these guys that do, like, the Hit Miss Engine shows and stuff.
Dude.
That are, like, 80 years old. Like, they've been doing these for 40 years together, you know?
I was waiting for you to finish your thought, and I was going to say 20 years ago, I went to a wedding in the middle of nowhere in Vermont, and there was, I don't want to say thousands, but definitely hundreds or a thousand people for an old steam engine thing. Mm-hmm. All old-timers in their 80s, and the Instagram wasn't around then, you know, Facebook, I don't know if might have been, no, it wasn't, but it was like, how the hell did these guys know about it? But they knew about it, and they were all there, you know, and the word got out somehow, you know, but it was just funny. There was tons and tons of people, you know, but it's funny how everybody finds their own little group, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. When I was in Vermont a couple weeks ago, there was a little Hit Miss Engine steam engine show at that the Queechy Gorge.
That's where it was. That's the one I was at. Funny.
And we had got there sort of just at the end of it. I didn't know it was even like happening. Yeah. But were still, you know, you could they were still running in like the background. There was like the guys that were kind of hanging late, just letting it go. So
yeah, those motherfuckers were there 20 years ago too.
It's
the
same guys.
We went up to a wedding in like Middlebury or something, I think it was, or some, I think it was Middlebury. But it's funny, I was at Queechy. I won't tell the story. I'll tell it in the after show.
In the after
show. $1,000 to hear it, but
what was I going to say? I was going to say something about Queechy Gorge. Oh, the blacksmith shop. Remember when we went up there all together and there was a little blacksmith shop up there that was closed? It was open when I was there.
Oh, really?
And that's actually the third time I've been there and the first time it was ever open. And, you know, it was like, it was pretty cool. There was like a college kid in there, like making bottle openers and stuff. And they had, you know, I guess there's a blacksmith that runs it full time and then he's got apprentices. So they've got the blacksmith's like hooks and then they have the apprentices' hooks for $5 cheaper and like a bin like right next to it.
Yeah.
But it was a cool little shop. They had a big blue hammer, you know, and a couple other little things. And they were using propane forge and, you know. Yeah. Kids seemed nice enough. I kind of just walked around and looked at fireplace pokers and shit.
That's cool.
And you know, it's cool to see it, you know, and like to see the kid actually was like making stuff. I mean, he didn't look like he would have done any of that stuff. You know, he had like sweatpants on, you know, and he was like making a little, like making a coat hook. But I was like, all right, I mean, it's cool to see like a 17-year-old kid actually doing anything.
Yeah. It is amazing. It's funny, but, yeah, they get a lot of good stuff up there like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool to see. But it's like, look at people like Andrew Alexander with the vices and the you know, anvils. It's like, you know, who would have thought, like, and it's funny, I remember when he started coming around, you know, he was just always like laughing at Jimmy, like how Jimmy was like so into Instagram and people reaching out to him. And now it's like you go on Andrew's post and he's like messaging everybody. He loves it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And because he realizes, and it's funny. I was just talking to one of Samantha's, my oldest daughter, one of her friends. She reached out to me. She's like, oh, I'm a huge fan. I love what you do. And she has an Instagram page where she posts like healthy food things she makes. And she does a really good job about it. And, I was just telling her, she's like, should I share about it, like, on stories and stuff? I was like, oh, you're a young girl. You might want to be careful. But I was like, you know, I've met online so many nice people that I wouldn't know if I walked into them, you know, like, that I talk to regularly and stuff like that. It is kind of such a crazy, you know, thing, you know, it bringing everybody together like that, you know. But it's, for me, it's been a lot of fun. You know, I love it. You know,
it's been great for all of us. It's funny. Andrew told the story, and you may have heard it, about like how he got his Instagram. His wife made it for him because he didn't know what Instagram was, and that's how it got the name. She just made it Blacksmith Tools.
Yeah,
that's funny.
What do you got? A train coming by?
Yeah,
my air compressor just turned on.
Oh, maybe we have a train coming by the sightseeing.
I must have a leak. I must have a leak. I never hear that air compressor turn on.
All air compressors leak. You know that.
I know. It's actually, somebody once told me it's better if they leak because it'll keeps the motor cycling like more regularly. Oh. Like it's good for them to have a pin, like a pinhole.
I'll tell my neighbors that when I forget to shut mine off and it comes on at 3 a.m.
Is it loud? Is it loud? Can you guys hear it really loud? I can barely hear it.
No, it's not too bad. I mean, it'll shut off in a second. It's fine.
No, it's fine. I got a nice little air dryer yesterday in my machine shop.
Nice.
Like a small one though. I don't know if it's gonna have the CFM.
Whatever.
I don't know if it's gonna put enough air through it to like run my plasma unit because that's why that's what I bought it for. But if not, I'll just put it in a pile with the rest of my shit and it'll stay there forever.
How's the forklift pursuit?
Oh, you sick bastard,
dude! The forklift pursuit, it was going well, and then it slowed down for some reason. Like 5 popped up on Marketplace within like 2 weeks with like pneumatic tires, like exactly what I wanted, and they were each selling like one day after another. They would sell, and then there was one for sale that Matt and I were going to go look at yesterday, but it was $1,000. It had pneumatic tires. But it had a hydraulic, something wrong with the hydraulic system. And Matt was like, well, why don't we go and look at it? And if it's not that bad of a repair, you know, like we'll just buy it because it still drove.
Yeah.
You know, so we could have driven it around to fix it. And by the time we went to message the guy, he had already sold it. So.
Wow.
But Matt said something to me yesterday. He said, dude, he goes, you should feel lucky you didn't have your forklift. He goes, because if you did, you probably would have lost it in that flood. He's like, because with 25 inches of water, depending on where it was parked, he's like, you might have lost it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I lost my tamper. You know, that, like, plate tamper I have?
Oh.
Because that had probably 15 or 16 inches of water up the side of it. Jeez. So I have to take the motor apart and make sure. Because as long as no water got in through the exhaust, which it may not have, but even still, at this point, I can't really know for sure. So I have to take that whole thing apart. Otherwise, I might have lost that machine.
At least blow some oil into it.
That's what Matt was saying.
Just and deal with it later, you know, at least if you can do that.
Yeah, so anyway, so I hope I didn't lose that machine because that was kind of a nice thing to have. But, you know, it just sucks. There's always going to be something.
I wanted to mention this now because he's definitely not going to be my pick, but did anybody see Bobby Duke's video?
No, he has a new video?
Yeah, he made a knife.
Oh, gotta see it.
And he friggin'
surprised that didn't pop up on my
one
like, feed.
One of Kyle Royer's knives knives he copied. I'm like saying to myself, it's the third knife he's made, right? And I'm looking at it, I go, I wonder how many knife guys like hate him.
What'd you say?
I was like, I wonder how many knife guys hate him. Like, it's like me and Graz were talking about it. It's like he's like, yeah, this is my third knife I made. It is unbelievable. Like just the style of it and the quality of it and everything like that. And the video, you know, of course, it's just over the top funny. But it just it's such a beautiful, you know, like piece of art he made. You know?
A tiny
just,
one, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a tiny knife. Oh, wow. I'm like looking at a clip of it. Holy shit, it has 330,000 views.
Oh, that's not doing too good.
That's not doing too good for Bobby.
No, because it's been out for a while, because I saw it the other day.
In 3 days.
Yeah.
Bobby's the best. I hope Bobby's doing well.
Yeah.
That little hammer.
It's been a long time since we've seen Bobby.
I know. I talk to him. I talk to him here and there. But, yeah, he's just busy. He's just doing his own thing, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like, you know, without, like, everyone getting together for anything for two years.
Yeah, no, he wants to.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
But I wanted to give myself a little plug. Some of my artwork is at the Artists and Craftsman Store in Saugus, Mass. For the month of September. I'm the featured artist of the month.
What stuff is there?
I just have some epoxy signs, some old, like that little cedar jewelry box I made. They needed a little table to put it on, so I brought the little table that I made with the maple slices to put it on and stuff. And they put your information up and a little bio and stuff.
That's
cool. Yeah, so,
are you going to promote that on your Instagram to tell people to go and check it out?
No, not really. Just it's like I think it's kind of just local, and people that are local to me kind of know about it. So it's just you know, they'll figure it out. I'm funny like that.
Oh my god, you're funny. Like you don't need to send anybody there. It's fine.
No. People will find it on their own. They'll work their way over there. What was I going to tell you guys? It was something important.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure it wasn't important.
What was important?
I don't know. It was something I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was.
Paul, what have you been doing?
A little bit of everything. A little working on the car a little bit. I took the motor all apart as much as I know how to do. And now it's just kind of like the block and like the camshaft and the...
Hold on. You took the motor apart as much as you know how to do. Like, how much knowledge do you have about flathead engines?
I have no knowledge about anything.
You know how to take bolts out. All right.
So you took it apart. Yeah.
And then all that's left is, like, the crankshaft and, like, the camshaft and the pistons are in there. Like, I don't want to touch that yet because Louis is going to help me. But, like, all the other stuff, the heads are off, the intake, like, the oil pan, like, everything. So the truck's, like, almost completely in... pieces. Like, there's only a couple more things I could do to where it's totally each individual piece, like, is just on its own. Like, yeah, but
you're gonna get like a sandblaster and sandblast it yourself, like, yeah, parts of, like, small things, like, start doing stuff like that yourself.
I'm gonna get a I think it's like 150-pound like pot, and then just rent a tow behind compressor when I need to use it for, like, because if you rent stuff on Friday and use it all weekend long, it only counts as like a one-day rental.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So anytime I need to sandblast something, I'll just do that. And just go to United and pick up a tow behind compressor, because you need one that's like at least 180 CFM for like a big sandblaster. But for small stuff, where Louis works, to have like a bunch of blast cabinets.
Yeah.
I can take all the small parts there maybe and blast some of those. I was actually just thinking about getting one of those little, like, cheap ones from Eastwood, too.
Yeah.
They're good to have.
Yeah.
They're so simple. You know, it's Serena.
Short money.
Yeah, Serena and Eric needed one, and they were sending me all these, like, ones they were going to buy that were, like, $3,000 or $4,000, and I was like, all it is a box.
Yeah.
And so I found them one on Facebook Marketplace for, like, $700, like, a huge one.
Yeah.
And, you know, like... And when we got it, he was like, dude, I bought that one you sent me on Marketplace. And, like, as soon as I looked at it, I was like, I would have been a sucker to spend any more money. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, because and the big thing is, like, making sure it's sealed. But, like, if you buy one, even if you buy a cheap one, if you silicone, like, once you assemble it, a lot of times you have to assemble them. If you silicone them once you build them before you put any media in them, it'll do everything you need from it to do, you know, like. And then the big consumable that is worth spending money on is the ceramic nozzle.
Those
are what, because if you buy shitty nozzles, you get like a bad blast spread.
Mm-hmm.
That's what tells the difference between a good one and a bad one. But what I was going to say was, you don't understand how lucky you are to have a United Rentals that's like nearby and that actually has stuff. Dude, the closest one by me is like in the Bronx.
Oh my god!
And they have like nothing. They're so unreliable. They won't tell you what they have like on the yard before you get there. Like, it makes
really
such a
one.
Difference that you're able to like rent a trailer,
yeah,
rent
I
a forklift, rent. It makes such a difference.
They get it ready. You call up. You're like, I need this type of trailer, this type of Bobcat, this type of compressor. They have it ready for you when you show up. You pick it up in 2 seconds. Drive wherever you need. It's like, I don't know why. I guess there's probably just so many people renting things like in New York, like around New York City. It's like,
yeah,
but where do they all get that stuff from? Like,
what,
there's
no
other rental places around there. There's so much
not
construction
really.
Always going on.
That's what me. We have a United, but we have another place I go to, and it's the same thing as you, Paul. Like, if you go, no, it's like a private one, but they have everything. And if you rent it, you pick it up like 6 o'clock Friday night. It doesn't have to be back till like Monday morning because they're not closed. They're not open, I mean, on Sunday.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
But,
I don't know. It is useful.
He muted? Oh, yeah, he muted himself.
Yeah.
He must have something important to talk about.
He's got
he must
big
be
business
talking about us.
Going on.
What's that?
Got big business ventures going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you gonna send the engine out on that thing, or are you just gonna wait? Like, you're gonna wait till like next year, or are you gonna do it like sooner rather than later?
No, I'm gonna start doing everything as soon as I can. I gotta send the engine out. It's gotta get all cleaned up because like the coolant, like all the ports for like the coolant or the antifreeze are all like rusted because someone must have put water in there, so it's all gunked up. So that needs to get cleaned out. But, like, the rest of the motor looks really good. Like, as far as I can tell, and what Louis told me, he said it looks really clean. But I got to get
how's
new heads.
How's the frame on it?
The frame's great. It's, like, a little bit tweaked. Like, I think I might have to take it to a shop and get straightened. But it's there's no rot whatsoever. It's, like, totally solid.
Yeah.
But I think something might have happened. Like, it almost looks like the right-hand side, like, the passenger side front wheel, like, someone, like, hit the like right where the wheel is and like pushed because the front axle actually is bent up a little bit
because
it goes like this and then goes up and then out for the wheels and it's like tweaked a little bit and then put that part of the frame is tweaked a little bit too so
I mean the thing's old I'm sure it's gone at some point
it was an old it must have been some old farm truck like you know, in California, because there's a ton of farms in California, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's going pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I... The one reason I want to get out of here, I want to have a barn or a garage at least to put something like that, a project in.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun.
And it's, but, you know, I just gotta take my time and you know, get through what I gotta get through here first, you know, just face reality and, you know, that'll be down the road sometime, you know? But it just, you know, like I'm watching Jimmy, like, doing that camper build in his barn and stuff. And just to have room like that.
Yeah, like
it
room
must
that's
be, like,
covered.
Unbelievable.
Like,
indoors? Yeah.
I'm so used to
it. I mean, especially his, too, now with heat. Like, that whole barn's heated and everything. Oh, my God.
That's nice.
Just so nice, you know?
I love that barn. I really love the way it looks.
Yeah, that's why when we shot the show, like, we thought they were going to shoot it, like, in the other shop and stuff, and they were like, no, this place is just amazing. It just looks amazing. There's so much room, and, you know, it's so big, you know. It's, you know, he has a lot of stuff in there, and it kind of looks filled up, but there's just so much room in there, and you can just, you know, you can do so much with it, so it just, one day.
Yeah.
You know.
No. It'll all happen.
Hey, Chris is here.
I'm back.
Chris is back.
What's going on?
Welcome back to the Handmade Podcast.
I'm back. Everything talking about that? Barns. Nice barns.
Yeah. No, I'd like to get, you know, move up to it, you know, to a barn one day, but one day.
Yeah, somebody just messaged me and said, like, you know, they have money put aside. They want to, or they have, no, I think they messaged me and said that they have the property to build a barn. And they wanted to know if I had done any planning to build one upstate and, like, how far I had gotten. And so I shared with them, like, some of the information that I got from some of those building, you know, those building builders out in, like, Great Western Buildings and those guys. I don't remember. I did get a real quote from one of the companies. And now looking back on it with, like, the escalation of materials, it seemed, like, stupid cheap. And it was, like, $45,000 for, like, a 4,000-square-foot building.
That's crazy.
With pre-cut insulation. Which
how
I thought was like,
possible?
I don't know.
Is that like
I mean,
a building that like if the wind blows, it's gonna like fall over? Like,
I don't know. I mean, you know, like a lot of people put up garages in the Midwest where they get tornadoes out of these buildings,
and they get lifted up into the tornado, like the Wizard of Oz.
True, but
that's why they build them so cheap because they know they're gonna get flattened.
Right, they're disposable.
Yeah,
they're
disposable
like a carport.
Buildings.
They're like a carport. I don't know.
Harbor
I
Freight mean, building.
Right.
I just got a listing sent to me from Zillow for a house up in Windham, New York. It was basically like a shed somebody made into like a tiny house.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $150,000, but it was like literally right across the street from that scenic view by the captain's place there. Or whatever.
Oh, nice.
So it was nice location and everything. It's 2 acres of land, 2 or 3 acres, and they had a couple small little outbuildings, but you know.
Should you build a barn dominium?
Barn dominium is the way to go.
Well, that's what I think I would do, to be honest with you. Depending on if I sold this house. If I sold this house, I wouldn't. But if I keep this house, that's what I think I'll do is I'll build a barn with like a one-bedroom, a like, you know, apartment in it or something in the back or something, mm-hmm. you know.
What more do you need?
Yeah, and that's it.
Just keep this house and rent out both units and move somewhere.
Yeah, no, we've gone through this. Christina doesn't want to leave.
Come on, Christina.
Not yet. I got to offer a boss, and then we'll be fine. Oh, is this being recorded?
No, we cut that part out. Yeah, I don't know. We just flip flop back and forth. We'll see what happens. There's a building that me and my friend are gonna try to look at next week locally.
Yeah.
That would obviously change my plans. Yeah. But I would be an owner in it, so it'd be a totally different situation, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You never know. Or I'll move to Florida and that'll be that.
Do not do that.
Oh boy.
I'm not moving to Florida.
I couldn't imagine living down there. Yeah, it just,
dude.
Oh, God.
Ugh. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how
look at the people
it.
That make up the state. That's how they do it.
Oh boy.
Here we go. Now my DMs are gonna light up of all the people being like, "Pinto's talking shit about Florida."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's up? What's up next for you guys? What's up next for you, Paul? You're working on the truck. We know that.
Working on the truck.
Any good projects coming up?
Yeah, we got those big buildings coming up. So I just actually got the Marvel saw kind of situated and set the rollers into place. There's like a little squeaking noise coming from it when you turn it on. So I don't know if it's a belt or like just a bearing.
Could be a belt.
So there's like a bunch of belts and shit. Like it's very complicated in there, like more than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And so I looked at, like, we opened it up and we can't figure out exactly where it's coming from because we just took like 10 minutes. Like, me and Louie opened it up. But we're going to try and diagnose the problem and get that running perfect. Because the thing is literally brand new. It's, like, the paint is perfect. Like, there's not even a scratch on it. So I can't really imagine what, like, it would be anything, like, serious. Because the guy just cut, like, little tiny pieces of copper with it for a couple years.
Yeah. So you can, there's this stuff called belt conditioner. They sell it at, like, the auto parts store. And I've used it before. It's, like, it almost
moisturizes them?
It smells like spray adhesive, and it's for like
that's
belt slippage
is,
and belt
yeah.
squeaking. It's basically probably just spray adhesive.
But you spray
it on the pulleys and the belts, and it. I had a table saw that would squeak like crazy when it first spooled up.
I need to get
and
some
I blasted
of
some of that shit in there, and it totally resolved it. It actually made the saw run a lot better too, because I was having belts slipping on the pulley.
What's it called?
Belt conditioner.
Belt dressing. I mean, I think that's all it is. That's what we've used. I was up Jimmy's, so that's what we were using. Spray adhesive. I also heard before, too, you can put toothpaste on it.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if it, like, smooths it out or something. I don't know, but
I hope it's just a belt.
Paul, you should do a video about the Marvel saw just to, like,
show
everything it can do. Because I feel like the first time that I ever really saw too much about a Marvel was in Jason's video.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the kind of thing where, like, people just don't know that much about those types of saws, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just an interesting thing.
You've got such
big industrial equipment. It's like, why not, you know, like, just share it with people so they can see it. And then maybe Marvel will send you the next one for free.
I hope. That'd be nice. that saw is so sick. Like, it's going to be so nice to have it working.
It's very cool.
The roller, I have, like, 45 feet of, like, rollers. It's crazy, but I'm excited to get it all working.
It's a very cool piece of machinery.
Yeah, nice. I'm just lucky I got that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the ones you see are just trash because they're coming out of like a steel fabrication shop, and you know you know it's just gonna get smashed when you're lifting 1,000-pound beams right next to it and around it, and you know guys are gonna hit it and stuff. So this one was, like, perfect, so other than the squeak.
Yeah.
So hopefully the squeak isn't, like, too bad.
I'm sure it's nothing.
It could be just a belt. I hope it is.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I reorganized the whole shop. I'm getting ready for some new things we got to do. I want to make a shipping container, like, office and, like, a break room. My new
plan inside or for outside?
For inside. Just so... Just so we could just take it, like, whenever we, you know, if we ever leave or use it even in the future for, like, a mobile office. Like, if we had a big job that we were at for a long time, like, you know, you could just put on
a buy an old camper or something.
What's that?
Buy an old camper or something, or no, something that's just a, you know, like, and gut it out or something. Or, well,
the,
I mean, you get a good
deal. The thing is, I wanna. That's a little redneck.
No, like you're gonna bring it somewhere, like a mobile, like a job site.
You need
site.
Like, well, like they a have job site trailer.
Yeah, like a job site trailer. Yeah.
But the problem with that is I want to stack two containers. Oh. So I was thinking, we were thinking about that. Like, if we could find like a nice one, we would get it because that'd be the easiest thing. It's already done. But yeah,
you gotta get like a cassone, like a decommissioned cassone trailer.
Yeah.
Because if you have to lift a shipping container, I feel like it'll be difficult to lift it with all your shit in it.
Yeah.
Well, every. You know, any time, I mean, I probably wouldn't really move it, like, that much. Yeah. But if I did, whatever job I'm bringing it to, if it's a big enough job, it's going to have, like, a lull, like a 12,000-pound lull, like, on site. Like, And they have those forklift, like, fork pockets built into the the containers. And they're not super heavy. Like, I don't know. But my plan is to have, like, a break room on the, like, first one and a little, like, kitchen and microwave and refrigerator and table, so and an air conditioner so everyone could eat and have a nice, like a nice comfortable break room, and then up on top just have an office with a staircase that I could build up to it. I'll cut out some windows and
nice,
just put a desk in there.
It's the worst time to buy a shipping container.
That's the problem.
They're so fucking expensive. It's so ridiculous that they're literally twice as much money as they were like a year and a half ago.
And I think to get, I think it was like a totally refurbished one was like $5,000.
It's crazy.
But it's like, it's, I don't want to build all these offices and stuff in this building that's not mine. So I could just build everything I need to in these containers, and when I leave, just take them right out with me.
Yeah.
And then whatever I do later, I'll have an office to work out of, like, at all times, you know. So that's the plan with that. That'll be coming soon. And I need to, I'm going to rent a Bobcat for, like, a weekend, and we're going to have a couple loads of process dropped off, and I'm going to scrape the little parking area and put some process down, some millings, just because I can't drive the forklift. Like, it's all dirt and like rocks now, and the forklift gets stuck, and it's not like weeds grow and stuff, so I want to have a nice parking area. So I don't know, I mean,
nice, that'll be great.
Millings are so cheap, like, would it make sense if you get a forklift, like, even if you can't find one with like really big tires, just to put millings down, like, down in that little, like, in your...
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how it's going to affect, like, the drainage, you know, which I don't think you really have much
drainage now.
Right? I know. The ground is so saturated. Yeah. But it does, you know, it does suck up. I mean, eventually it does get the... It does get the water. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on whatever machine I wind up getting, you know, like, because there's so many different options. But eventually I'll wind up with a forklift or, you know... if I wind up getting this other shop that I'm looking at is, you know, got all paving. So, like, I wouldn't need the same forklift for this other shop. So, like, if I do wind up moving, then maybe I'm just renting a forklift to get the big stuff out of here, you know, and then I'm not going so crazy buying something that needs to be so all-terrain. I don't know. But the right one will come up. Either I'll buy one or one will come up at an auction or something, but it's just a matter of time. I've got the money, like, sitting in the account, like, waiting to be spent on a forklift. So
if you do move, that's the time to get yourself a nice big 3500 so you can tow a trailer, because you're going to make it all.
Well, this other shop is, like, this other shop's, like, almost walking distance from here.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. That's so convenient. It's not, like, it's not that bad, where, like, I probably could, like, I don't know. I could work a couple deals with some people I know that have trailers, or even like a flat, like a roll off. You know, like, even if I asked Matt to, like, see if his boss would, like, lend him the flatbed for the weekend or something, we could probably move, like, most of the big stuff.
Yeah.
You know, with like a flatbed where we could just pull shit onto it and go down the block. You could get a lot done if the trip between shops is so short. You know, you could move a lot of the big stuff, and then the small stuff. You know, I think I would rent a liftgate truck.
Oh, yeah.
And then just move everything up on a liftgate truck and move it back out. Because when I first moved into the shop, and there's been a couple times, my buddy Mario, he actually recently moved a little further away, but he had just a box truck with a 2,000-pound liftgate.
Yeah.
And that thing came in such handy every time we needed to move stuff, you know, because you just – there's no lifting, right? You're just dragging shit onto the lift gate, and that's it. Mm. So, you know, I don't think I'd be able to use his again just because he's so much further away. Maybe I would, but even if I couldn't, it would be it'd be great to even just rent one and use it. But whatever, we'd cross that bridge when we get to
it. Yeah, you could rent. Well, back to you don't have a freaking reliable United rentals, but we rent like a state bed, you know, just flatbed truck, like a 26 foot truck with a lift gate on it. Lift gate, like
yeah, that's what I want to rent from them.
It. I never even tried to use it, but it has one on there.
That's what that you guys had upstate, Derek, and I was like, that's perfect. You know, like a 16-foot stake bed with a lift gate is a great vehicle. And I can get one here, but it's like what you were saying, like I feel like you could just show up and rent one. Like I got to plan it like 2 weeks in advance, and then I could get one. You know, like I had to tell them, like, yeah, I need this exact truck when I get there. It can't be like another flatbed. Because, you know, they'll say like, oh, well, you'll get this or something like it. It's like, well...
Yeah,
no,
I need
that exact vehicle. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do.
Yeah, mine is like a hub for all the ones around. It's huge. Like, all the other ones are tiny. Like, in Stanford and New Haven, they're all like tiny little places. This place is massive. They have like thousands of machines there. Like,
yeah, we don't have that.
You'll see like 100 man lifts just sticking up like as you're driving by. Like, but... I don't know. That is kind of crazy that there isn't a good place because there's just so much construction that goes on around you. It's really weird.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why it's like this. It's super annoying.
Maybe
like
you
I couldn't
get into the
rent
rental
one of those.
Business.
Right? Those like those hydraulic trailers that you've rented. Like I've looked into trying to get one of those. There's just no one around that that has them. You know,
have Paul rent one and come down and help you.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well,
that's probably the best.
You know what? I got to give a shout out to the Instagram community and the people that support me. So after my flood, I must have gotten 30 messages from people saying, when you move, let me know and I'll come and help. Like,
that's
so
cool.
Like, and not people that I know, just random people were you got to get out of there. And when you need to move, you like, I'll come and help. Like, I'll come from Delaware. I'll come from Pennsylvania. Like, people just offering to help move. Maybe they all want to rob me. Maybe they all plan on coming and just taking, like, bins of end mills.
They do. But they'll help move some stuff.
But exactly. If they take shit, that'll be less shit for us to move.
There you go.
But, I just thought it was so nice. People, you know, just, like, making that kind of offer. So
you'd be like, did somebody steal a Bridgeport? I thought I had 5 Bridgeports.
Yeah, how do I only have 4 now?
There's only 4 here, Paul.
Yeah.
No, I told you what you got to do.
Amazing.
Before you move, is you go around everything and put a price tag on everything.
Yeah.
What you'd be willing to sell it for. Like, just put stupid numbers on some of the stuff. And then, you know, if someone buys it, great. It's one less thing you have to move. And then you just get a new one while you're there.
Yeah.
You just have one of your parties again.
That's what I
say.
Put aside the shit you want. Sell all the shit you don't so you don't have to move it. But
I know.
You know what I got this week I forgot to mention? I got a new HVLP sprayer.
I saw you posted
Perlex.
Oh,
my God, dude. So nice. So nice.
Is Perlex a sponsor of Derek from Malden?
No,
or did
they
you
just
buy
said,
that?
No, they sent it to me, but they just said, just use it, have some fun with it, you know. The other one was good, but the only issue with the other one, it would always blow air out the front. So after I sprayed something, I go to put it down, excuse me, it would, you know, kick up dust from the table. But, you know, that's my fault. I shouldn't be spraying in dusty environments. But, you know, I kind of bitched about it, and they reached right out to me, and they said, hey, you know, we can send you a new sprayer if you want to use it. And I said, sure, send it along. And this one, it's a 3-stage, I think. It is unbelievable. 25-foot hose, real good quality hose, quick connect fittings. Like, it atomizes the paint, like, unbelievable. And it's funny because the job I have coming up I have to go look at next weekend is a lady just bought a house local, and she has a mudroom, and she wants me to build some built-ins. And she had seen the one I did in the fireplace, and she says, can you build me some cabinets? And I'm like, yeah. So I was like, this would be great. I could spray those, you know. But I tell you, it's just a nice little sprayer. So shout out to
awesome.
Erlex. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm happy with it. Happy with it. So
excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So Other than that, I've done nothing. Oh, God, nothing. That's it.
Well, I can transition into my pick of the week as I'm scrolling through these drawings.
Fuck. I know.
It's not Tyler. Tyler's video was good, but I gotta give somebody else some love this week. Tyler's my stand-in pick of the week. But I wanna.
It's funny because I was gonna pick Tyler, but I'm not gonna pick Tyler either. I messaged him though. I think that was probably one of his best videos, not like project-wise. I just thought it was like shot unbelievably. The story behind it, he did an unbelievable job with the flies. Good job with the flies, Tyler.
He did a great job. Tyler, he always does a great job. He puts so much time into it, you know.
He does. It's amazing.
So here's my pick of the week. This guy, his YouTube is Vinny B. Hmm. Vinny B. V-I-N-Y-B. And he made an airbag trailer, like a drop trailer. And it reminded me when we were talking about that. So recently the video just went like viral. And for some reason, like he doesn't have that many subscribers, and he even acknowledged in his thing, he's like, for some reason, everyone's seeing this trailer video. So he's a mechanical engineer, and he designed and built his own, you know, drop pneumatic trailer that so that he could put his he has a smart car with a Hayabusa engine in it.
Oh my God, Jesus!
So he needed a drop trailer that he could pull his Hayabusa smart car onto. So it's got airbags, and it's, you know, it's like exactly what I would want in like a utility trailer to like pull shit on and off of. And he developed a set of drawings for it. So I commented on his video, and I just wrote like, this is a great design, you know, and a great project. Like, can't wait for you to make the plans available. Because I was just going to buy the plans from him just to, you know, kind of get an idea. Because I would love to build a tandem axle hydraulic trailer to move machinery around. So he hit me up through my email and said, you know, hey, if you'd be interested in the plans, I'll just send them to you if you're going to make a video about it. So I said, yeah, of course I would, you know, shout him out and share his channel with my audience just to try to get him some more promotion and whatever. So he just sent me the plans, and I'm looking through them now. They're like incredibly detailed drawings on how to build a tandem axle hydraulic drop trailer from scratch. It was really cool, and I think it'll be a really awesome project to do. And he rates the trailer at 5,000 pounds for the tandem axle, and I've read about this, when you use those floating axle trailers, they tow really, really smooth. Mm-hmm. Because each axle is acting independently.
Oh, yeah.
So even with a load on them, they don't like move like a normal trailer. So I think it'd be a cool thing to build. He designed his for a car, so it's a lot bigger than the trailer that I think I would build for myself. But I think to have two axles and, you know, whatever I build the deck at, I think it'll be a really cool project. And, you know, it's something that, like, I probably couldn't even buy for less than, like, $10,000 or $12,000 for a tandem axle hydraulic. They're like over $10,000.
Those are expensive.
I feel like if I can get material and build it myself, you know, why not? It'll be a great video and it'll be a fun project. So shout out to Vinny B. I'll put a link to his airbag trailer in the show notes.
Nice.
That's my pick.
So it's Vinny with one V.
Yeah. I think he's from Quebec. But what was interesting was that there's another company that makes plans like this, but they're all in metric, and they don't offer a converted set of plans. So you have to go through and convert them. But his plans are in inches and millimeters. So if anybody is thinking about downloading them and you work in millimeters, he's got everything on there. They're so, so detailed. Like, they're you wouldn't need anything else. And he provides all the plasma cut DXF files with the plans.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
So if you have a plasma table, he has all the DXFs for all the brackets that you need included with the drawing. So, I mean, it's really like, if you have a plasma table and the ability to cut and weld, I think anybody could like build this. So, very cool. Yeah. Vinny B.
All right. My pick of the week is going to be Garage Monkey Sand. The guy that follows me on Instagram. And
Sam?
San, S-A-N.
Okay.
He's got 176 subscribers on YouTube. But this guy, he always comments on my videos, always comments on everything, always has a nice thing to say. And I don't know why, but a video of his came up in my recommended. And it was him building a spot welder with a
microwave.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I just happened to watch it, right? And he's an older guy. And the story he tells while he's building it was just like, it was just, it was interesting to listen to. It was, he was talking about shop class when he was a kid and how his parents would force them to go to summer school and how, you know, he enjoyed it so much. And like I said, he's just reminiscing as he's building it. And it's just so nice to hear. It was like, you know, it was just a video about a spot welder. But, you know, it was very well done. You know, he 3D printed parts for it and stuff like that. And just, you know, and I went through a bunch of his videos last night and I watched him. And he's just such a good guy. And, you know, I commented on the video and he was happy that I commented on it. But just, you know, check out
what's
that
his
one.
YouTube channel?
It's Garage Monkey San, S-A-N, all one word. So G-A-R-A-G-E-M-O-N.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. It was a little hard to find because you've got the Garage Monkey, like, the famous Garage Monkey Garage videos, just totally.
Yeah, yeah.
So. You might want to, Garage Monkey San, you might want to think about changing your YouTube name before it gets bigger so it makes people easier to find you. Just saying. But I am going to link his video in the show notes.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. And it just, you know, then like I said, it's the one with the spot welder. I watched that one.
Yeah, got it. I'm looking at it right now. So.
That's it. What about you, Pinto? Cool.
I listened to two podcasts. This comedian Tom Segura has a podcast that he does. He has like multiple podcasts, but he has one that he does on his own called Tom Talks. And he recently had Damon John from Shark Tank on, and then he had Kevin O'Leary on. They were like back to back like episodes, but it was really interesting to like listen to them talk about you know, how they make money and the things they've learned over the years, and you know, about Shark Tank, and it's just two really interesting podcasts, and they're pretty funny too. But like one of the things Kevin was talking about is his watch collection, which
I see that on here.
Which I figured like you buy watches and it's just like jewelry, where like I guess it kind of would appreciate a little bit, but it's kind of just like would stay the same. I didn't realize that these watches increase in value like crazy, especially the highly collectible ones and the super rare ones. He has like thousands of watches, he said, and he stores them all over the world. And he has watches made by these super exclusive watchmakers that made a watch just for him that, you know, like people haven't even seen. He doesn't even let people look at certain watches, and he knows all the collectors around the world, and they won't let people take pictures of some of their watches. And
interesting. So they can get like ripped off, maybe, I guess, if people see the design.
Yeah, or just to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
And he doesn't let anyone know where they're stored. And I, he must have just like multiple millions and millions of dollars of watches.
I remember years ago the saying about them appreciating. A buddy of mine had bought a Rolex.
Yeah.
And he paid $1,800 for it. It was like the base Rolex.
Yeah.
And, that same exact watch hasn't changed at all. He paid $1,800. I think it's like $7,800 now.
That's what
for the same Rolex, you know. And it's, you know, obviously inflation and stuff like that. But it's funny. I was watching a video on. I get them every once in a while. It's they're always on YouTube. They're titled "Why is X so expensive?" Whatever it is, you know, fill in the blank. So one of them was watches, and they weren't overly expensive watches. I mean, they were like $50,000 to $75,000 for the cheapest ones.
Yeah.
But the thing that amazed me was I was thinking, like, somebody wears a $75,000 watch, like, it's made, you know, by a couple people, you know, putting components together. These friggin' things were on assembly line. I go,
really?
How many people are buying $75,000? Not a huge assembly line, but they weren't making five of them.
What brand?
It was like, I can't think of the name. I'll find it, because the YouTube channel it was on is like Art Insider or something Insider. It always comes up on my feed as recommended, but they'll be like, why are, you know, you know, why is this so expensive? Why are truffles so expensive? Why is, you know, whatever so expensive? And they'll
Business
showcase
Insider?
That thing. Yeah, it might be Business Insider.
Why Rolex watches are so expensive?
No, it wasn't Rolex. It was a different brand. I think it began with like an M. But I'm like, I was just like astonished, like that many people buy watches, you know? But
yeah,
it just, what would kill me is like, there's so many good knockoffs. Like I for a while, I was on this kick watching. I know you enjoy watches. You should watch these old watch restoration videos. Unbelievable. Like these guys, like they take apart these watches and it's like, you know, it's thousands of dollars to have them, you know, like cleaned and stuff like that. Like they take apart every little piece of it and it's unbelievable, you know, what goes into a watch, you know, to make it and everything like that. It's really, really interesting, you know, and that's why it was cool to watch what got me started with Clickspring when he made that clock. Like there was just so many intricate pieces to that thing to make that thing run correctly, you know, and it's really, really interesting stuff, you know.
Speaking of watches, do you wear your Apple Watch at all?
Me?
Yeah.
I wear it every day, and I think
do
today,
you?
Yeah, and I'm scratching it and ruining it. And today, Max is going back to college, and I was almost considering saying, you know what, here, take this stupid thing. I just use it as a watch.
I wear mine every day, too. I got a screen cover for it.
Yeah,
and
I wish I had done that.
There, I mean, you can still put one on. I got a matte one because the gloss, I noticed, like, sometimes it was hard to see the time if it was sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a pain in the ass to put on because you have to stretch it around the corners. But
yeah,
it definitely made a difference. And I would notice, like, I would scratch it and then I would peel it off and stick a new one on.
Yeah.
The last time it peeled off, I didn't put a new one on, and I've had no screen cover for a while. And I'm noticing it's starting to get scratched.
Yeah.
But it's not terrible.
It's,
I mean, you don't really
it
notice.
Break. I always bang it into my
Midasaw
when I'm walking by,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's unbelievable. But I don't know. I just last night I used it to text somebody for the first time because I was too lazy to get up and get my phone. You know, that was a pain in the ass. But I don't know. It just I don't know. The battery doesn't last as long as I thought the battery would last.
Does it last all day? Like, mine only does one day.
It lasts
one
day, but the battery should last a couple days, you would think.
I know.
Like, because they're like, oh, it can monitor your sleep, but it's like, yeah, but you fucking get a charge.
When are you going to charge it?
Like, yeah.
I know. I don't understand
that. That's all I get. So, I don't know. Jerry's still out on it.
It's kind of
like. Does Jimmy wear his, or does he wear.
He has been wearing it. I was going to say something to him one time, but I wanted to see if he was wearing it, but he has been wearing it.
Does he wear the Rolex and the Apple Watch?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he doesn't.
No.
I was going to say, does he have the Apple Watch on one wrist and the Rolex on the other?
You know what's funny is the other day I'm at the CNC, and it vibrates or something. I look at it, see if somebody's calling. And it says you've meet your activity goal for the day. I says, what the fuck do I have to set at zero? It's like,
right?
I'm sitting at the CNC all day and it goes on. It's like,
I know.
You breathed. You know, you lived past 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You've exceeded your goal for today, you lazy bastard. It's just, what was my activity goal if it's doing it while I'm doing nothing? But
mine does that sometimes. Like,
baby step it.
You met your step count. I'm like,
yeah.
I haven't done shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
So funny.
Yeah,
I think that's about it. Happy Labor Day, everybody, even though this is going to come out on Wednesday. Hope everybody had a good weekend.
Yeah.
And I know that upcoming this Friday is the Jimmy DiResta Full Blast podcast episode. Highly anticipated.
Really looking
is
forward to it.
Coming out on September 10th. This podcast will release on September 8th. And I was talking to Jeff about it yesterday, and he said that Jimmy's episode is coming out on the 10th. He said specifically because it's a New York City episode, and it's 20 years since 9/11 this coming Saturday, which is insane that it's been 20 years.
Wow.
So I hope everybody has a good week. I hope everybody recovered from their flooding, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.